Welcome to Everyday Miracles with Candace McClain, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who motivate you to overcome the odds, break down barricades, and shift your beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Share in the journey and find a new path full of miracles waiting to be discovered. Now, here's your host, Candace McClain.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Everyday Miracles. I'm Candace McClain, and thank you for joining me today. You know, in this age of science, I wonder, do people still really believe in miracles, or are miracles just being explained away? And what are miracles anyway? And why is it some people receive them and yet others don't? Are some people just more worthy of the experience of miracles? We're delving right into all the questions you've ever had about miracles today. Questions that my three guests asked themselves over 10 years ago. And you might call these women avid miracle seekers. They've come together through friendship and through the experience of their own miracles to go on a 10-year quest to answer these questions and more in a beautiful book they've co-authored called The Miracle Chase. And I have to tell you, I love this book because what these women have done is they've gone to great lengths to share not only their research, be it biblical, cultural, scientific, but their personal journeys and their reflections on the miracles in their lives. Katie, in fact, was haunted by an escape from serial killer Ted Bundy. And Meb's six-month-old daughter was shaken by a neighbor's nanny and irreversibly blinded, but somehow she survived and thrived through all of that. And in the event that brought these ladies all together, they all witnessed Joan's son survive a catastrophic illness. So were these experiences miracles? And so began their quest and journey to find that out. The miracle chase was on. Let me introduce these wonderful ladies to you right now. First, we have Joan Hill. Hi, Joan.
Hey, Candace.
Hi. Joan was a healthcare executive for 25 years in Massachusetts, Nevada, and California. She's been an innovator in women's and children's health and in education leading initiatives in osteoporosis, pediatric cardiology, and inner city education. And then we have Katie Mahon. Hi there,
Hi,
Katie.
Candace.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
No problem. I love it. Katie, she's a former banker, passionate about access to quality education and women's issues. As the past president of the San Francisco chapter of the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation, she helped take the organization from a grassroots movement to a million-dollar organization. And then we've got Meb Phillips. Hi, Meb.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for having us. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Meb, a clinical psychologist and former dean, she was the mother of the groundbreaking California Trust Line Registry, legislation that has positively affected childcare in California and the nation. She speaks regularly at conferences and at state hearings and has appeared on local and national television, dozens of talk shows, including Oprah, and has been featured in national magazine articles. Ladies, welcome to the show. It's so great having all three of you join us today.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
And what a miracle it is to get all of us together at one time, right?
That's right. The miracle of technology is working.
Exactly. So I want to start out, I want to get your thoughts on this maybe, just given your research and your experiences through writing this book. You know, I think sometimes it's easier for people to label miraculous events as mere coincidences. It's like we have this need to understand everything in such logical terms, and when we can't understand them that way, we just say it's a coincidence, or, I don't know, somehow that seems to be a safer choice. Why do you think that is? Katie, maybe let's start with you.
Well, you know, I can understand that completely because I was one of those people.
And, right.
You know, I tried for a lot of years to pretend that what happened to me when I somehow managed to become rescued from a serial killer in a hotel room, that it was, in fact, just a lucky coincidence. But you might say that the miracle chased me and not so much the other way around, at least initially. And one of the first quotes that we came across in this journey that I came across that really resonated with me mm-hmm. is from Leif Anger, who wrote a book called Peace Like a River. And the quote is, "People fear miracles because they fear being changed, though ignoring them will change you also." And that right. is exactly where I started from.
Yeah, yeah. And Meb, do you think that people are just so busy that they just can't take the time to notice?
No, I think people do notice, but I think our culture has focused so much on the scientific and on the rational and on the thinking, and has we talk so much about the negative things when we get together and meet up. I think that we don't celebrate the positive, and so there may even be a piece of it that, you know, if you really want to say that you had a miracle or that the coincidence was beneficial, oftentimes you have to say that you weren't in a good place. And yeah. I think in our culture we have a hard time saying that to our friends and family as well.
We do, and even just to ourselves, right?
And even to ourselves, that's right.
Yeah. Joan, do you think that people are becoming more accepting of the idea of miracles in our culture?
You know, I really do. I think that that was one of the things, to be perfectly honest, that surprised me a lot. Because on some level, we, you know, Meb, Katie and I became friends and we bonded over this experience that happened with my son that to me initially seemed like this just fortuitous series of coincidences. And really Meb and Katie recognized before I did that it was really a miracle that it happened. Not really just the Twilight Zone.
And, right.
As we went around and we did our own exploration, we were, you know, we talked to a lot of people over 10 years. You know, friends, acquaintances, at meetings, at, you know, cocktail parties. And you would be amazed at the things that people told us. We say in the book it was almost like we gave them permission to talk about things that they had internalized and almost were afraid to talk about for fear that somebody might think they were crazy. And so I do think that people are beginning to come out of that shell a little bit, and they were certainly willing to talk to us. And I think the other thing is they've now been willing to have us share their stories as well. And I think it's a really positive thing because it's something that we can do to, you know, help and communicate with each other.
Yeah, and just keep those lines of communication open and let everyone know it's okay to talk about this. It's okay to talk about your experiences and your miracles. Now, writing a book is certainly no easy feat. So what were the strengths and maybe the personality traits that each of you brought to this project to make it work, to actually see it through to the end?
I think that this is Joan, and I'd love to answer this question.
Sure.
I love to tell people that what I do is I collect friends, and as I've moved across the country from the East Coast to the Midwest to the West Coast, I, you know, found in my friends Meb and Katie two amazing women who I thought between the three of us and our different perspectives really could do something that would be interesting, would be fun, would be amazing. And we all had a number of volunteer interests in terms of children's educational programs, women's health programs, disabilities education. And what happened was we kind of got sidetracked along the way, and we ended up and created this book, you know, The Miracle Chase. And I think that we each brought a very, and the reason that I think that this book is so unique is because of the unique perspectives that we brought to it. You know, Katie, mm-hmm. we tease and say that she really, you know, we had to really look at things in terms of what were we really trying to say. And Meb forced me, at least, and I think Katie as well, to look outside kind of a boundary of things. As I say, Meb went off into the ethereal. And, you know, the three of us talking about these things very openly, checking our egos at the door, really trying to do the best thing that we could do for this book and for this miracle exploration, really, I think, generated something that's very unusual.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the main strengths of the whole book, was that, you know, anyone who reads it would be able to, because each of you wrote your own stories in there and perspectives, you know, you read it and you kind of align yourself with someone. Do you know what I mean? Like you have a similar story to someone in some way, or something about the words mm-hmm. they use or their experiences just appeals to you. And so three great women coming from different backgrounds with three amazing but different experiences, it makes such a beautiful book.
Thank you. Well, I think that's fun too, is that we're very different people. But, you know, where miracles are concerned and a quest to find them and find out about spirituality within ourselves and with our friends, I think having those differences made us able to go deeper and learn a lot more quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to move into our first break. You are listening to Everyday Miracles. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk more with Joan, Katie, and Meb, authors of The Miracle Chase, about where their research and discoveries brought them. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Are you waiting for a miracle to turn your life around? Look no further. Join Candace McClain, clinical hypnotherapist, speaker, writer, and host of Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Hear inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who've overcome the odds, broken down barricades, and shifted their beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Let their journeys motivate you and see your life open up in a whole new way. Candace offers a fresh blend of insight, powerful strategies to change your deeply rooted beliefs, and plenty of laughter along the way. Come share in the journey. Tune in Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Everyday Miracles, where a new path full of miracles is just waiting to be discovered. Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities.
Reservage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including Reservage Resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from Reservage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. Reservage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at Reservage.com and at the Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit Reservage.com and feel vitality today.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
And welcome back to Everyday Miracles. I'm Candace McLean, and I have Joan Hill, Katie Mahon, and Meb Phillips with me, authors of The Miracle Chase, Three Women, Three Miracles, and a 10-Year Journey of Discovery and Friendship. Now, for people interested in you ladies or your book, Joan, how can people find out more information?
Great question. Thank you. We have a website called www.themiraclechase.com, and they can find out all sorts of information about kind of how we came about writing this book and the events and locations we'll be doing signings and speaking. And most excitingly, one of the things that we really found out about through the writing of this book and now going around the country talking to people is really engaging people in the conversation about miracles and their own personal journeys. And to that extent, there's a blog, Miracle Club Online, that people can sign up and participate in at www.themiraclechase.com.
Wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. And so as you just mentioned, this idea about us sharing our miracles, that was really how you guys came to write this book, were these three miracles. Each of you had one, and I'd love for you all to share that personal miracle story that led you to write this book. Maybe, Meb, we could start with you. I know there was an incident that took place with your daughter, which really must have been a nightmare. I mean, I can just imagine for any parent, it would have been so difficult. Can you walk us through what happened and the miracle that came through for your daughter?
Sure, I'll give you the short version. Liz was 6 months old, and she's my first baby, and I was in graduate school, and I had an afternoon class, and my own babysitter had gone home for the summer, and I needed someone for a couple of afternoons, and a neighbor said, you know, you can use my nanny. I've had this nanny for 10 months, and I have a 10-month-old baby, and this would be great. We could share the nanny. And so, you know, I talked to the nanny, interviewed her, and left Liz there and came back from class to find that Liz was in a coma, and she was paralyzed. She had been, as we found out later, shaken so violently she had bilateral retinal detachment. So she was blinded by this nanny, and she is still permanently blind. Well, the miracle is that in the night when they thought that Liz was dying and that if she didn't die, she would be what they then called a vegetable, I was holding her and I was praying. And the short version is that this man came up to me, said he was the intensive care director, and told me that my daughter had been shaken. No one had said that yet, that she would be fine and that I needed to just trust. And that she would survive. And when I went to thank that doctor, when I went to follow up and find him, no one knew who I was talking about. Well, the time went on, and Liz actually, who they thought would die or be a vegetable, graduated from Stanford University with honors in philosophy and is now in a PhD program in Arizona studying philosophy working in children's rights and children's advocacy and disability rights and advocacy. So, and she has gone on to do lots of public speaking on behalf of children and families. So the doctors really do use what they call the M word for miracle when they talk about Liz. They really can't explain why she is really so brilliant, and I think that it's pretty clear that we had a miracle.
You did. That's a beautiful story. And, I mean, given that they thought that she would die or, as you said, become a vegetable, and for it to just turn around like that, what a blessing. What a blessing. Mm-hmm. Katie, you were nearly attacked by the serial killer, Ted Bundy. Can you tell us about that experience and the miracle that literally saved you from that?
Well, you know, I was 19 years old. It was the summer of 1975, and I was, you know, had some time to kill after work one day, and a clean-cut 30-ish guy came up to me while I lingered in front of a department store window and said that he was a stranger in town, that he needed some help, that he'd had some eye surgery, and he needed to look up his best friend's parents' number, and could I please help him out? Well, you know, I thought, don't take candy from a stranger, and I tried to walk away from him. And he was very persistent. He followed me. He repeated his story. I, you know, was shy and, you know, sheltered and naive, frankly. And finally, he said, gee, I'm staying up the street at the Hyatt Hotel, and you could just look it up in a lobby telephone book. And I thought, well, okay, you know, be a good Samaritan. I've got the time, and it's a public place, and there's people, and I decided to follow him to the hotel. So we got on the elevator because the hotel's built on a hill, and when the elevator stopped at the lobby level, it was, of course, crowded with people, and everybody got out, but he had pressed the mezzanine, and I wasn't sure what to do, and I just stayed on the elevator. And we ended up going to the mezzanine level. We got off. It was deserted. I followed him. I started to feel uncomfortable. We ended up in a deserted conference room. There was a telephone, not a booth, but a telephone on the wall with a telephone book below it. And I started to look up a very common name. It was Brown on Marina Boulevard, and he was standing behind me. And as I started to go down these, all the Browns and all the columns, all of a sudden it hit me, what should have hit me before, which is that he had no scar, he had no patch. You know, there were a million people he could have asked in the hotel, that he had lured me into this conference room. And as I turned around and I looked at him, I knew that he knew that I was terrified. Mm-hmm. It was an instantaneous, animalistic kind of feeling, terrified. And all of a sudden there was a movement at the door, and a bellman walked in, and he looked right at me and he said, "Don't you think you should be going now?" And I walked out of the hotel room. I got in the elevator. I turned around seconds after I'd gotten off the elevator to thank this man. And he essentially had disappeared. He could have walked around a corner. I mean, that's certainly possible.
Right.
And years went by, and I told this story to, you know, a few people. And it wasn't for 15 years that all of a sudden my husband looked at me and handed me the front page of a newspaper, and this man's face had haunted me for all this time. And there on the front page was the picture of Ted Bundy, who had been executed the day before. And it recounted the fact that his victims all looked like me, that he always feigned illness, that he was clean cut, and most importantly, that he was in San Francisco in the mid-70s when he was at the height of his murder spree. And I just, you know, you just know.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that that's who it was. And that's when I embarked on this spiritual, I had to sort of, it was like a wake-up call. You know, you can't ignore this experience. Anyway, sorry, that was probably the long version.
That's okay, because it's an amazing story, and that's what we want to hear. Joan, your son's illness is, like you said, what really brought everyone together, and it started this journey for the three of you. Tell us what happened with your son and the miracle that came through for you.
Well, you know, it was a very interesting thing. My son was a star athlete. He had made it to 13 and, you know, was good to go. And I think his parents, we sort of stopped worrying about some of the basic things by that time. And a friend had prevailed upon me to become the parents' club treasurer, something I really didn't want to do, but I agreed to do. And it was the very first meeting that I was at. They came and they said, "Joan, your son is in the office. He's having chest pain." And I thought, well, that's odd. And I went out to see him, and I joked with him. I said, "Dave, it's a really good thing that you're not your father, because I would think you were having a heart attack." And he kind of, you know, looked at me but didn't really feel so well, so was kind of troubled. And then he perked up after, you know, a couple of hours. We checked in with the doctor, the on-call doctor, who said, you know, "Well, what did you do yesterday?" And he explained all the series of physical activities he had done at swim practice and whatnot. And they said, "Oh, he's got a pulled muscle." About a month later, we went for his annual physical, which, you know, I sort of scheduled early. And the doctor there said, "You know, he looks great, but that was a weird," and I said, "You know, that was a weird event." He said, "Well, just go and get, have this echocardiogram test," which he had. And they said everything had been going along just perfectly. And then they said, "Oh, my gosh." And we watched this parade of doctors come in who said, "Oh, my gosh." Turns out his coronary arteries were, he had a congenital abnormality where they were both formed on the same side of his heart. And this was a problem because one of them would be cut off quickly and cause sort of instant death. And that's where they had seen this problem before on people that had dropped dead.
Joan, I'm going to let you just hold on that thought, and I'll let you continue after the break. We're just going to go to another break right now. You're listening to Everyday Miracles. We'll be back in a moment.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in Wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness natural food for pets. This is where true wellness begins.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have. Cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Topperson, pain relief and healing cream. Topperson relieves pain without side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't just take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Topperson and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you're hurt. We want to help. We're so sure Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want pain relief with no side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Bi-Mart, New Seasons, and other fine health food stores and co-ops. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store nearest you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
And welcome back to the show. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Everyday Miracles on the Transformation Network. I'm your host, Candace McLean, and I have Joan Hill, Katie Mann, and Meb Phillips with me here today discussing their latest book, The Miracle Chase. Now, Joan, you were discussing your son's miracle. You were discussing the fact that he had a heart condition that the doctors discovered.
Well, I can pick up the story while we're waiting for Joan to get
okay.
back on, if Is that all right, Candace?
Go ahead.
What happened next was, not that I can tell it better than Joan, but they went back and forth across the country with a series of coincidences, what Joan called coincidences at the time. She had a day off from school so they could get away. One doctor knew the special other doctor. Someone knew the one guy in the nation who could take a look at David. And eventually they ended up at Children's Hospital to do this surgery, which really they weren't sure David would survive because no one had ever survived this kind of situation, and the only way that most people found out a child or an adult had it was on autopsy. And I was part of that. I was there for some of the sitting in the waiting room, and I was there for this experience that Joan had where, you know, the TV was, this is one of those coincidences that are too much of a coincidence. Mm-hmm. So Joan had, as a child, developed an affection for Bernadette. And Bernadette is the woman who was involved in the establishment of Lourdes. Bernadette was, as a young child, saw what she called the lady, and the lady said to dig the hole in the ground, and the water came, and that created the healing water of Lourdes. And so we were watching, you know, they have the TV on in these waiting rooms sort of to distract all these parents whose children are being operated on, and they had Jerry Springer on, of all things, and all of a sudden the TV just changed. And it was, in fact, the Song of Bernadette. And a woman was calling Louise, which is Joan's maiden name. The doctor came out and said that David's surgery was going well, and Joan was very much at peace, and they were able to reconstruct David's heart. Just, it was like millimeters, you know, just miraculously. So that's one way that's how we came together, was that Kitty and I said to Joan, you know, there were so many coincidences, Joanie, leading up to this really amazing medical survival of your son. Don't you think it was a little more than just luck?
Yeah.
And that was where we came together. And then when Katie told her story of surviving Ted Bundy, it was like three women, three miracles, the gauntlet was thrown, and we decided that we really needed to find out what it meant in our lives to have these miracles, because we didn't feel like we were gifted with them in any way necessarily. It was like just kind of where you pinch yourself and say, is this really happening to me? And so we wanted to find out what we could about miracles and what they mean.
And so the three of you came together then at this point, looking at these miracles that had happened for all of you, and then you started this journey. You started this idea of researching, well, what are miracles? Where do they come from? Joan, do we have you back on now?
I am back, and you know,
oh, good.
One of the best parts of this whole journey has been this friendship piece, and I think you just heard in the story that Meb told of my journey with my son, it was all of us. You know, sometimes
yeah.
things happen to you, and yes, it was my family, but Katie and Meb were my go-to people. They were the people that I looked to for, you know, help and support when I just wanted to pull my hair out or cry or whatever. to, you know, kind of get my arms around, you know, kind of the being strong as you're going to all these doctor visits and you're, and you've got yeah. other children to take care of. And I think this is how, what we became for each of us. And over the 10 years, as you get further and further into the book and things happen, life happens to we, especially as women, that, you know, our friends just pick up the pieces and help us be stronger.
So let's talk about your research for this book then, because there was a lot of research involved. Where did you even begin? I mean, was it biblical, cultural, scientific, New Age? Katie, what can you tell us about that?
Well, I just decided that I needed a crash course in basics. And so I found this book, A History of God, by Karen Armstrong. And I've got to tell you, it was thick, it was dense material, but I really got what sort of whet my appetite, not only on the ways that various religions, the great religions, the three monotheistic religions were founded, but it was filled with miracle lore and miracle stories and the mystics and their journey to seventh heaven. And I have to say, I just soaked it up like a sponge. So that's kind of where I started.
Okay, so how did you go about orchestrating who was going to research what? Or was it just sort of based on your interests?
It was our passions, which we never called this. We always said this was not a group tour. So we literally went after the passions that sort of spoke to us along the way. And what was wonderful about the research is that we really encouraged each other in whatever direction each of us was going in, but we also challenged each other, I think, to think outside of our little boxes and maybe not be, you know, sort of be bigger than ourselves, so to speak.
Yeah. And what would you say, Matt, what would you say were some of the common threads that linked the miracles that you researched, whether they were biblical ones or contemporary ones? I mean, what constituted a miracle for you initially?
Well, I was the one that was the more expansive person when it came to miracles, so I think I had the broadest view of miracles. But one of the things that we came to that I think is different from what people normally think about when they think about miracles, I think, you know, a lot of people think about miracles as what we ended up calling the thunderbolt miracles, you know, where, you know, sort of something just hits you on the head and, you know, like you realize that, you really survived, you know, a sudden healing or coming back from the brink of death or something like that. But we also looked at the more subtle things, because I very much feel like that there are miracles in our lives every day. I think the common thread, though, that we came to find was that miracles are communications from the divine. They are signs. They do point us in direction and are part of God's communication with us, or the divine's communication with us. And there is this component, what we ended up calling the ripple effect, which is that for a true miracle, it doesn't just stop with the event, but there is an unfolding of that event over time. And in the case, for example, in my case, Elizabeth's survival created an opportunity for me to become involved in legislation in California in child care that then changed child care in California, that then changed child care in the nation, and then Liz developed her voice, and she also became part of that. And you could see how the miracle unfolded and touched lives over time, and that's what we call the ripple effect. And I think if trauma can ripple through lives and families and be destructive, miracles, the grace of the divine, can do that as well. And a true miracle, you can see the unfolding over time.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, when you did your scientific area of research, what did that teach you? How did science respond to miracles, Joan?
I think that basically what happened was that, you know, we really felt as we started this journey that there were definite categories that needed to be looked at. You know, this is the whole discussion of miracles had been going on for centuries, and there was great open debate, and there was great debate about, you know, how could you believe in miracles in an age of science? And you could perhaps explain the parting of the, you know, Dead Sea was Moses went through because there was some,
you know, climatic change or ecological event. And, you know, we read a lot of science. Katie became our scientific expert. And because she was fascinated in terms of trying to figure out, you know, how do you rationalize these things together? And, you know, I found something that really resonated with me, which was that scientism became its own religion. And that seemed no more reasonable to me than looking at individual events and evaluating them. And, you know, so I really became passionate about looking at miracles as a way that brought people together and that brought other faiths together. And, you know, that it was not so much, you know, the differences, but actually it turned out to be, you know, the same. There's a wonderful quote about, though we may, you know, climb the mountain from different paths, the view from the top is the same. And, you know, that was a piece that really, really spoke to me.
Thank you. We are actually going to move to another break now. And when we come back, these wonderful ladies are going to talk with us some more about what they've learned on this journey of theirs. And when we come back, we're going to give away 5 copies of The Miracle Chase. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Are you waiting for a miracle to turn your life around? Look no further. Join Candace McLean, clinical hypnotherapist, speaker, writer, and host of Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Hear inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who've overcome the odds, broken down barricades, and shifted their beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Let their journeys motivate you and see your life open up in a whole new way. Candace offers a fresh blend of insight, powerful strategies to change your deeply rooted beliefs, and plenty of laughter along the way. Come share in the journey. Tune in Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Everyday Miracles, where a new path full of miracles is just waiting to be discovered. Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities.
Let's be honest. Weight loss boils down to choices. The Take Shape for Life program features clinically tested products from Medifast that have been recommended by over 20,000 doctors in the last 30 years. There's free support from certified health coaches who've experienced personal success with the Take Shape for Life program. Talk to a health coach. Listen to the passion in their voice and their story that started with a choice. Call 1-877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in Wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness natural food for pets. This is where true wellness begins.
The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. They set out to do what their friends and business acquaintances thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to easternessence.com. That's easternessence.com.
And welcome back to Everyday Miracles. I'm Candace McLean, and I'm joined by Joan Hill, Katie Mahon, and Meb Phillips. And if people want to find out more about these ladies and their newly released book called Miracle Chase, The Miracle Chase, you can visit their website at www.themiraclechase.com. Now, ladies, I definitely want to talk about this friendship that you've formed in this time, and taking into consideration too that this book took you 10 years to write when you really expected that it would take a few months. So given that you didn't all know each other so well at the beginning of all this, tell me, how has your friendship evolved? Was it a natural kind of progression, or were there a lot of bumps in the road along the way? Katie, do you want to respond to that?
Sure. I mean, I it's true that Meb and I, in particular, did not know each other particularly well. Joan was friends with Meb. Joan was friends with me. I think one of the things that happens when you research something like this, and by the way, I think it was one of the most unexpected outcomes of the Miracle Chase, when you have to go into a topic with sort of the force that we did, a depth and a trust develops in a relationship that you just don't find even in your closest girlfriend relationships. And so, you know, and also there were things that occurred during the 10 years of writing the book. Joan was diagnosed with invasive breast cancer. Meb's marriage broke up, and we really needed to rely on each other, and were able to in a way because we'd established this deep friendship.
Yeah. And so these personal struggles, I mean, you kind of bonded together and helped each other through that. But beyond that, would you say just doing this research and growing in the way you must have been to do this, did that help you through these tragedies, through some of these challenges that you were facing?
Well, I can
absolutely
speak to my...
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh. Go ahead, John.
As we had over the years kind of routine meeting times that we would come and schedule time to talk with each other over the phone or in person. We initially started writing when we all three were neighbors in California, and after a few months I moved back to the East Coast. And so we really scheduled this time to talk, and it was a talk that we brought things that we were excited about, and we hammered home kind of issues, and we didn't let people off with like a simple, oh, you know, a very simple, shallow answer. We really wanted to know. We sort of inquiring minds want to know. And so we, around this whole issue of miracles and around the things that excited us and around the things that we were discovering, we also discovered things about each other. You know, one thing would relate to something else, which would remind us of a story from our youth or a story from college, times in our lives when we didn't know each other, and all of a sudden we would have an experience that was out there that we might not have talked about, you know, regular course of friendship. But all of a sudden, because it related to the book, and I think one such thing was, you know, Katie's discussion with us about her father's death and the nightmare that haunted her for years afterwards. And, you know, that was a very, I think, painful kind of thing to talk about, but as we talked and we commiserated and we talked about our own parents and our own lives and how we felt about all of those things, you have to become closer. There are issues that bond you. And so, yes, it was about the book, but it was about, you know, so much more.
And so many women talk about wanting to make changes in their lives, and they've suffered tragedy and challenges too, but somehow they don't take those steps. They're afraid of taking that first step, perhaps. So what was it that allowed you to be successful and not only take that first step, but to continue on that path? Meb, do you want to answer that?
Well, I think that three is better than one. I think that's one of the things and the themes in the book is that this commitment, and it really was a commitment to a kind of friendship. We actually talked about checking our egos at the door. We actually talked about having permission to ask questions and to go deeper, ostensibly to make the book a better book, but also in a way, to make us better people. And so for me, you know, having Joan and Katie understand me so well and having that spiritual component to our relationship allowed me to rely on them when my marriage broke up in a way that I wasn't able to rely on all my friends. I think that that's sort of another one of the messages in the book, is that we can have really deep relationships and really deep friendships with other women, but we have to really almost explicitly talk about the ability to go deeper and to make a commitment to do that. So the three of us were able to support and engage and push. So when one person was really down, another person might be up, and that allowed us to go forward.
Yeah, beautiful. And, you know, this book would have been totally different if written by three men, I'm sure, but it was your friendship and your commitment to one another and the commitment to finding out about miracles that made this book what it is today. And I kind of want to get back to some of the things I mentioned at the very beginning of the show about miracles themselves and these questions that we have. So, Joan, why do you think some people get miracles and others don't?
I think that's a really tough question. And I think that, you know, we don't know what the miracle is supposed to be. And it goes to the, you know, what are you praying for? There's a wonderful story from Anne Hood that kind of goes to, what if the miracle you ask isn't the miracle you get isn't the miracle you asked for? I think that, you know, part of it is it's that jump shift in our thinking about, we think we need X, Y, and Z, but really we need A, B, C. And, you know, mm-hmm. to a certain extent, miracles are no different than that. And, you know, a lot of the miracle to me isn't the healing or isn't the person who rises from the dead or any of those things. Right. It might be as simple as the peace or the understanding or the, you know, acceptance of something.
And I'm curious about your faith through all of this. How has your faith changed from the beginning when you began writing this book to today?
For me, this is Matt, and I
would say that I developed a deep respect for other faith traditions as a result of writing the book, and therefore was able to sort of at least approach an answer for myself about how I'm going to go forward in exercising my own faith.
Good. Does anyone else want to offer an answer to that?
Yeah, for me, I think it underscored my own belief in miracles. And I had a saying when I started this journey, my mother taught it to me, that you work like everything depends on you and pray like everything depends on God. And I think that in the course of the unfolding of the miracle with Liz, I really felt like I needed to work and work and work. And it was, in some ways, I felt in control of the miracle. What I learned, I think, over time was that it's not in my hands. It is in God's hands. And I've become a lot better about being patient and about trusting God.
So where does your miracle chase end, or does it?
I think, you know, one of the lines that we really love, and I think that the miracle chase, and the three of us had this conversation, this has turned into what we thought was going to be a simple book about miracles really became a journey. And the journey is never ending. You know, this is our own sort of spiritual journey, and miracles are a piece of that, and an important piece of that. And I guess what really resonates with the three of us is a wonderful line from Willa Cather, which says, "Where there is great love, there are always miracles." And as Meb writes, we are all called to great love. So, it, you know, that's the story.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And you're right. I mean, I read the book, and it is about miracles, but it's so much about you and your experiences. And I thank you for writing it and for sharing it. And I thank all three of you for being on the show today and sharing your great miracle chase with us. And for those of you who are interested in learning more about these ladies or their book, The Miracle Chase, you can visit their website at www.themiraclechase.com. We're going to give away 5 copies of this book. Our toll-free line is open right after the show. You can call 1-800-930-2819 for your copy of The Miracle Chase. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you, Candace.
Thank you so much.
And thank you to everyone for tuning in to Everyday Miracles. We will see you again next week at the same time. See you all next week.
You've been listening to Everyday Miracles with Candace McClain, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Tune in Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Everyday Miracles, where a new path full of miracles is just waiting to be discovered.